With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's Buckle Movie Club.
And welcome to Puckle Movie Club. I am your host, Ethan, here today with my co-hosts,
the Fluffiest Whimsicott
and Scissor Kid.
And we're here today to talk about Pokemon the Movie 3, Spell of the Unknown. You may remember this little beauty. Came out in 2001, at least in the States. It was in 2000 in Japan. So, what do you guys remember about this movie?
This was the only of the first three movies that I believe... I think all three of the first ones came out in theater, correct?
That is correct. At least to some extent. I don't know if this got as wide of a release in the States.
Yeah, I want to say I remember this coming out in theaters. This is the only one of those three that I didn't see in theaters. And actually, I think I probably saw it like a year or two later on VHS. I think I got it as like a gift for Christmas. And for a while, I actually kind of like held it in higher regard than like the second one, mostly because I didn't like have the second one. That was the only one I didn't own was the second one. And so I kind of rewatched this one and the first one pretty frequently. And I have like kind of a soft spot for it. That said, I'm not sure necessarily if it's, you know, better than the first two. It's certainly not better than the first, but I mean, I still have like a soft spot for it because of that.
Interesting. I find a lot of people have a more of an affinity towards 2000 because they watched it on VHS, but I guess it's a different experience or something.
Yeah, well, yeah, I never had it, so like, I never owned it. I saw it once in theaters and then never again after that until like years and years later, and so I think that was a big factor into that.
That's interesting. What about you, Whimsicott?
I'm actually not sure if I watched this movie in a theater or at home. I know I saw it back when, and I remember enjoying it, although not as much as the first two. But I honestly could not tell you if I watched it in a movie theater or at home. It's been such a long time.
Once you get to that three count, it starts to become hard to keep track of all of the different elements going on, you know?
Very funny.
Well, I'm not even joking. It's I understand, like, because I start to lose track at this point after this. I always forget that Forever comes after this.
Oh, yeah.
But for whatever reason, I associate Forever with the Jirachi one. I don't know. It's the names become a wash, and, you know, there's a couple dozen movies at this point.
We don't like to forget about Forever.
Oh, see, I thought that 3 you were referring to was the first digit of my age.
Oh, no.
Which would have been a legitimate observation to do, I admit. But
yeah, we don't deal in ages here, only Pokemon movies, please.
Yeah.
For me, numerals only exist to denote which Pokemon movie I'm watching.
Yeah. And they have to be with like an RD or an ND on the end.
Yes, of course.
The third movie, it can't be the movie 3.
The second, the third.
Second, yes.
The 16th. Oh, God. Let it make it stop, please.
Yeah, let's get off this ride.
Once you get
They're
off...
They're never once... going to stop.
Yeah, they won't.
The Pokemon ride will never end. So, there's a short film before this, and I believe Scissor is going to be... He's going to be kind enough to discuss the short film, Pikachu and Pichu.
Okay, so it's basically just Ash, Misty, and Brock bring all of their Pokemon up to the top of this building... which I don't know how they get in through these buildings and how they reserve all these places without any stable income. But anyway, they rent out the entire rooftop of this building and keep their Pokemon there for a day. And then Pikachu spots on the building across the street a pair of Pichu, the Pichu brothers, just hanging out and generally just trying to annoy them, like making faces, all kinds of stuff.
They're hooligans. They're getting up into mischief.
Yeah, a bunch of goons just, you know, ruining their day, you know. And so Pikachu's like, oh, hey, you guys better cut it out, you know, from across the building. Then he falls and is like clinging to the side of the building, and some Murkrow decide to just ruin his day and make him fall. And I can't remember exactly like how he manages to get to like the ground, and the Pichu meet him down there, and they're like, I gotta get back to my building, blah 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 blah. And so the whole point of the movie is the Pichu brothers trying to help him get back to his building with like all the other Pokemon. But before that, they take a detour to the Pichu's home, which is this weird old huge tire fortress that they crafted
Hood
in the middle of an alleyway.
Hood rat.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, hood rat stuff, you know? And in there, like, they have all kinds of other Pokemon that hang out. They have, like, a Smoochum, and, like, a Magby, and, like, an Elekid, and, like, a Smeargle.
All of the baby Pokemon.
Yeah, all the baby Pokemon, which is kind of cool, because it's, like, the only time you ever really see the baby Pokemon in, like, a movie setting.
They never really get the time to shine.
Exactly, because they're completely pointless, and they just get forgotten, you know?
Yeah, Magby.
Yeah, and Magby. Oh, I actually like Magby and Elekid, but you know that's
I do too. They got spunk.
Yeah, they're cool little designs.
You know, they fit into the hood.
Yeah, although I completely forget that Igglybuff even exists though.
Who can blame them?
But when they go to this fortress and meet these other Pokemon, you know they find out that the Pichu brothers have a natural enemy in this random Houndour that just kind of like roams around the streets. And so I think they did something to annoy him, but I can't recall what it was. It's been a while since I've seen this short. And I just kind of skimmed through it last night. But they managed to anger this Houndour. He comes and tries to ruin their day, and basically he ends up wrecking their fortress. And like as it's like toppling over, he's like, oh no, wait. Like, they help him out, like, help him get out of, like, one of the tires.
He gets buried in the pile of tires.
Yeah, he gets buried in the pile of tires as it's falling down. They help him out. He's like, oh, man. Oh, let me help you guys, you know, save what's left of this little fortress. And so he helps him, you know, fix it up and all that kind of stuff. He keeps it from being completely destroyed. The remainder of the movie is them rebuilding the fortress. And then they drop Pikachu back off with his buds over at the rooftop.
So it's basically like all the other Pikachu shorts.
Oh yeah, absolutely, because it has, you know, the miscreant, you know, characters coming in and, you know, not liking Pikachu, and then they have a common enemy, and then they, you know, they come together and they, you know, get Pikachu back on his way. And the thing is, when they get back, Ash and Misty and Brock apparently prepared this entire feast, which comes back to the point of, like, I don't know how they're affording all of this. Like, it's pretty considerable. Like, they have cakes and, like, steak and, like, all kinds of
stuff. It must
have
been right after a gym battle or something.
Or something. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, he's getting money from somewhere. And he's like, we've spent weeks figuring this out, Pikachu. This is the anniversary of the day that I first met you. And the Pikachu's like, oh, really? And
even though a year hasn't passed in the timeline yet, because God.
Yeah, oh God, yeah. Which they just zip through everything in this, good God.
Wait a minute. It's an anniversary of when he first met him.
I don't know if it's like a single year.
Yeah, and yet Ash is still 10.
Yeah.
I don't think it's supposed to be a single year either. I think it's supposed to be like 2 or 3 years since they first met.
Do you guys remember when Black and White came out? Like the you know, the anime went over to Black and White. And in the opening for like the first episode, they talk about how he's been on an adventure for, he's 10 years old and he's been on an adventure for a year. Even though he's already been 10 for, like, a year at that point. I don't understand.
This is weird. Like, they're trying to do everything they can to rationalize how Ash has not aged at all.
Send me your garbage Infinite Summer fan theories to the Puckle Gmail. I want to hear them. I want to hear your worst explanations as to why time has not passed in this universe yet.
And we will get the worst. Yeah, all in all, though, this short is, like, it's fine, it's okay. It's weird because I think this is the first one where they actually had a narrator added into it, and it's, like, the same narrator that kind of introduces all the movies, which is fine, but it's kind of, like, it definitely aims to be even more kiddy than the previous ones were, because the last two, I think this is true for the second one as well, the shorts were barely narrated at all. Like, you got, like, some little interjections here and there from, like, Dex in the original one.
Yep.
But other than that, it was just straight up, like, Pika Pika, Raichu, right, you know, just for, like 20 minutes.
Piece it together. Though, like, you know, it's, you know, yeah, visual storytelling, it's
exactly
important.
It's visual storytelling, you know, and it's got, you know, it's, you know, it's acting, you know, with movement, and not, you know, praise these Pokemon for being able to, you know, pull off these performances without it saying a single word.
Give the performances, the you know, drawn performances some room to breathe. You don't gotta explain everything. Distracting. Yeah.
Exactly. But, you know, it's an okay short, you know, it's all right. It's, you know, on the weaker end of the earlier ones, but it still, you know, has some fun parts to it.
It's weaker from a, like, perhaps storytelling perspective, but I think technically it's one of the more...
Yeah,
it's one of the better looking ones, I'd
yeah,
say.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I like it. Yeah, like I was talking about the whole scene with, like, the, you know, they make the little tire fortress and all that. And, you know, it's actually pretty cool to look at. Like, it's pretty imaginative. Like, you like what they did. It's not like just a big pile of tires. It's like they make a tower with, like, arms stretching out to, like, the different, like,
turrets and stuff, you know, like...
Yeah, it's, like, cool looking. And they have a bunch of Pokemon you never, ever see in any other setting. Like I said, like, Magby and the other baby Pokemon. Then you see, like, a Sunflower and, like, a Smeargle. Like, just guys that never get a second chance, you know, to, you know, even see the light of day. So, it's cool, you know. I liked it fine.
Didn't they already use Elekid in the last one?
They did. Yes, they did. Elekid was actually, like, the main, like, he was, like, the jerk guy, wasn't he?
In
the second one? Yeah.
But now this Elekid's cool.
No. I mean, he wasn't a jerk. He was slightly less nice than everyone else. But everyone was really nice in that one.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he was, like, the contrarian Pokemon in that one.
He's like, maybe these guys aren't so cool.
Yeah, you guys are cool. I don't want to hang out on this tree with you guys.
Maybe Avengers isn't that good. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's that guy. Okay, so I think we pretty reasonably covered that. It's a decent one.
Yeah, it's only like a 10-minute thing. It's like,
I would not be remiss to have to watch it. You know, it's decent. It looks pretty nice.
Yeah, it's fun. Fun little time.
Okay, so let's move on to the actual feature itself here. Pokemon Movie 3, or Pokemon 3, the movie.
Pokemon the third movie.
I've heard it written 18 different ways.
I'm 99% sure that if you look at the title of it, it is like Pokemon the third movie.
Now here's the thing. I thought this as well, but the Pulpopedia page says Pokemon 3 the movie is spelled
with the unknown. Oh, it is. You're right. I'm looking at it right now. Pokemon 3 the movie. Wow.
But I've also heard... The third.
Yeah, I'm trying to think where... I know for a fact at some point it was called, like, Pokemon the third movie, because I remember thinking how weird that was when I was a kid. Even as a kid, I was like, that's weird. Why would they call it that?
Wait a minute. We gotta get to the bottom of this. Where did that name go?
Yeah, what happened? Yeah, where...
Whimsicott, do you recall this?
No, because apparently this problem was never present in my language.
Yeah, I that's pretty much what I figured.
Well, there you go. That's a good way to dodge it.
Let's see. The movie is just called Pokemon 3, Spell of the Unknown in Italian.
Yeah, it's called Pokemon 3, the movie, which I don't like. Pokemon 3 apparently is the proper, you know, the movie, and Spell of the Unknown is the subtitle. So I don't know.
Give me 1 second. I'm going to do some snooping. Yes, talk amongst yourselves.
Maybe I'm thinking about it because it was Pokemon the first movie, and I'm kind of rationalizing it. Because maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Maybe. I mean, that title is nowhere on the Bulbapedia.
Yeah.
That's crazy. It's weird that we both have that same misremembering.
Ooh, okay, so if you search Pokemon the third movie, there is a little book that says, the official art book was The Art of Pokemon the third movie.
Okay. Oh. Wow, this is like a Berenstain thing.
This is weird, yeah. This is very strange.
But I was never a flying type, Ethan. Still.
I still think you're wrong. I think there's a serious chance that Thatch and I are right.
That Fluffy? Was
or
it Fluffy?
That you and Thatch are having a weird case of folie à deux.
So. No, Whimsicott was always Grass Dark.
You have discovered my deepest, darkest secret.
Classic crunch. Things to run on your...
Whimsicott hit you with that beat up.
Yep.
Beating up with the multiple personalities instead.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, hit him with a little dirty beat up.
Yeah, no. By the way, can I just say how, like, presumptuous it was of Pokemon to be like, this is the first movie, but don't worry, there'll be more.
They knew. There was a second one in development by the time the first movie was out. Like, they knew for a fact.
That's true.
They were right. You can't fault them for being right.
Yeah, that's a solid point.
Okay. So, let's move on to the actual movie itself. Pokemon 3, the movie,
the game.
Dash, Spell of the Unknown, Entei, the game, the ride, 4D, the experience.
Resurrection,
Resurgence.
Resurgence.
The return of the Crystal Tower, Entei Strikes Back.
Mon, Pokey.
The Phantom Unknown.
The movie 3, Spell of the Darkness Inside of All.
Boogaloo.
Boogaloo 2.
Yes.
Electric. Yes. Boogaloo.
Pokemon X.
Okay, we got the long enough title.
Now here's the thing: when you get to 100, it's Pokemon, but the M is accentuated to indicate the. M is 50, right?
M is 1,000.
M is 1,000. So when the 1,000th Pokemon movie comes out, it'll be Pokemon, and it will be hilarious. Okay,
I can't wait for that day.
So, Pokemon the movie 3, Entei rises. The Dark Entei rises.
Dark Entei rising, yeah.
in a mansion. In the, I'm not going to actually read this line for line. So,
okay. Oh, God, no. We've been here for 5 hours.
Ash and Co. Actually, I'll explain the hail. Cut this out, Ethan. Ethan, go back and trim this. Okay.
Go get the prologue.
So, there's this researcher man, right? Spencer Hale.
Yeah.
And he reads a story about Entei to his daughter, Molly. And, whoa, that's adorable. That's cool. And they play around.
Precious.
They play around together. It's like, oh, I'm going to be Entei because, you know, kids are dumb.
I am Entei.
Thank you. That's perfect. If you can keep a running commentary going.
That's literally how he sounds.
Father, daughter, playing around. And then it turns out Spencer Hale is a researcher guy, as I already said. And he gets an email from an associate. He's like, oh man, you got to get to this crazy site. And they go there. These ruins turn out to be a portal to another dimension. And he gets sucked into the other dimension.
By the end of.
And then the assistant guy comes back and he's like, yo, butler of the mansion, homie got sucked into this other dimension. Mm-hmm. Bad news bears, right?
Bad news bears, yes.
No kidding, because Molly's distraught as her father's been taken away to this terror world. This nightmare this world.
Nightmare fuel.
Yes, he's just stranded in the ultimate darkness of the universe for the foreseeable future. Needless to say, Molly's not happy.
No, and she doesn't know where he is at all. She just thinks he disappeared.
Oh, also, assistant guy brought back...
his belongings, basically, that he had with him.
Yeah, and amongst them was this box of tiles that looked like letters.
Yeah, little tiny, like, inch-by-inch squares, basically.
And we recognize them to be unknown. And she starts spelling out things with them, letters start appearing, and demon shit starts... Oh, cut that. demon stuff starts happening. The unknown created Entei for her to play with. She calls a papa. That's a cold open, basically. Or not cold open.
Well, don't forget, they also, they freeze, they cover everything in, like, crystal. Lock the butler or grandfather, whoever he is, and the assistant out of the mansion. Like, force them out and, like, freeze the entirety of, like, the surrounding, like, mile, like, around the mansion and the entire mansion itself. And it basically makes the entire thing out of crystal.
Yeah, it's this crazy crystal flower.
Exactly, it's crazy neat. Looking. It's nuts. And okay, and that is like the first like 4 or 5 minutes of this movie. Like this thing moves at like a lightning pace for the beginning.
It moves at a lightning pace, but it's also pretty long. Like it's basically nonstop action in this Pokemon the movie 3.
Yeah, it is.
Elsewhere, Ash and Co. are doing trainer stuff, and they come across another trainer, and they have a battle. And the most important, like this is basically how every movie starts with Ash in a battle. With, you know, a stranger who may or may not show up later in the movie. But I think this one's important because it's got a crazy funky version of the Johto Journeys theme playing over it.
Oh, I love that theme. I have it on my phone. Like, I'm not even kidding. Like, this theme is so good.
It's pretty good. There was definitely a time in my life where that was on my phone.
Yeah.
It bangs. The track is really good. I don't know where it went. I don't know if it's available anywhere for download.
On iTunes it is.
Oh, that's right. Isn't that a part of a collection? Like, it's like a 15-year collection or something?
Well, I don't know if it's on... No, I don't think it's on there. It's like they literally have like the third movie soundtrack available on iTunes.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. They added those like a year or two ago.
A few years ago. They started adding like all the movie soundtracks and like game soundtracks. Yeah.
So if you're in the market for a crazy funky version of the Johto Journeys like theme, it's
a good
there.
Workout tune.
Throw your hands in the air while you're running a treadmill. Battle, stranger girl. They're like, whoa, Greenfield's right over the hill. Let's go to Greenfield, right? Isn't that kind of their... I don't know if there's any strong reasoning as why they go to Greenfield, other than we're adventurers.
They want to go to the Pokemon Center, and Lisa and Misty have both heard about Greenfield, and they know that it's supposed to be really pretty, and so they decide to go there.
It turns out they're right, but it's not pretty from like a... you know, traditional standpoint. More from like a horrifying crystal monster standpoint.
It's pretty in a... Ooh, that giant crystal flower in Geosynch Town is really pretty. What does it do? Kill everyone. It kills everyone, guys.
It's pretty in the way that, like...
it is, though.
The Marianas Trench is pretty, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to go there, but I'll appreciate it for my computer screen. And so they go there, like, whoa, everything's crystals. This doesn't seem normal. TV crew is like, whoa, this isn't normal. It's not usually like this.
Gee, you think?
Back at Palatown, Delia Ketchum, we don't really care about her plot line, so we're just going to trim it. Don't worry about Dilly.
Wait. She's a fundamental part of this movie.
She's actually pretty important to this movie. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, fine. We'll talk about Dilly Ketchum.
Like how we both had to be like, what are you talking about?
I'm just so used to her part of the movie not being relevant.
It's inconsequential. No, she's actually super important to this one for whatever reason.
Because they had to make her important for this one. Who got the shaft in this? Like who in this movie got shafted the hardest? Do you think?
Team Rocket.
Yeah, they did get shafted pretty hard. They serve, like, little to no role in this movie.
They're coming off of a strong showing in the last one, though.
Yeah.
In which Delia did not get much to do at all. Mm. So, okay, they traded this time. So Delia Ketchum is watching the TV, and she's like, whoa, we know the Hale family. This is crazy. I gotta go see what's going on there.
Oh, by the way, do you like how she just reveals, like, she literally takes a photo off of the fridge and reveals underneath it she's been friends with this person the whole time?
What a twist.
Dun, dun, dun.
I had to chuckle that.
Professor Oak is brought on board as a specialist because we need someone to do exposition and explain what's happening.
Yeah.
Entei runs up to everybody because everyone's in a group now and they're just throwing down, being like, we gotta fix this. Entei runs up and his footprints start creating crystals on the ground, which is kind of neat, but it's pretty much directly stolen from Princess Mononoke. It's a decent little image, but, you know, not entirely original. So there's a brief struggle where Pikachu tries to grab onto Entei. Nothing happens. Pikachu's thrown on the ground, and they're no further than they once were.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, but this happens because Entei kidnaps Delia.
That's right, yeah. because he's looking for a mother.
Molly wants a mom. Molly's correct. Like,
Molly.
I want a mama too.
Molly sees Delia and Ash on TV and says, "Hey, guess what? I'm gonna get some of that.
Yeah,
I want mommy too."
That's literally the line. Hey, Entei, I want some of that.
Give me a little bit of dat mommy goodness.
Oh no.
Why does the breakdown of this movie always devolve into try to piece together the narrative? Because there's so many things that happen, but...
Quick aside, I was telling you guys this before we started, but whenever Intake goes and, like, gets the Idilia, first off, they don't recognize, he's like, what is that weird Pokemon? And, like, everyone's like, I don't know. I guess because people just don't know what, like, legendary Pokemon look like in real life, even though, like, we've had several people be like, oh, yeah, I see legendary Pokemon all the time, like, in certain instances.
Right.
This is one of the dub edits.
Like, yeah, it's true. Yeah, the dubs are like, yeah, that's totally true.
Speaking but I guess it makes a bit of sense. I mean, Entei is a legendary Pokemon, and you don't see those every day.
Yeah, well, some of them anyway. Apparently, some are just really common, and like, because everyone's like, oh yeah, that's a so and so or Zap. Like, they kind of treat Zapdos and like Moltres and Articuno as kind of like throwaways almost in like the second movie, so it's kind of weird.
Like, they're definitely second tier.
Yeah,
in
they're
that
like
instance.
But no, when Entei finally strolls up and like at them like sitting on a table just outside like the crystal radius or whatever, he just stares at Delia and he's, you are mama, and just and just hypnotizes her and she passes out.
Decent little pickup line. You are mama. And then you take her and leave.
He takes her. Yeah.
Let's just say that the unknown are a bit literal.
Yes.
Yeah, no, it's like the best because this guy's like voice sounds super serious, like it's like it's a little like deepened from like the modulation, and it's basically Molly's dad's voice, but just like I said, deeper. And so just hearing it like just say that line, I just lost it, man. I couldn't handle it anymore.
Okay,
I had to take a break.
So Entei grabs Delia, takes her into the crystal castle, beautiful crystal castle, and introduces her to Molly, and she's like, whoa. I know your dad. She doesn't say this, of course, but she, you know, it's implied that she knows. She's surprised that Molly's calling her mom and everything.
Well, first she goes along with it because she's hypnotized. She's like, I'm mama. And then, like, later, what was it, whenever Ash is trying to break it. And, like, shortly after this, like, they try to bust through the crystal with, like, a bulldozer. That doesn't work.
There's a bad history of hypnosis in these movies.
Yeah, there is.
There's a pretty decent chance you're going to get taken over by, like, a mysterious force.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's true, because it was Mewtwo in the first one with Nurse Joy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was there one in the second one?
I don't think so.
I'm trying to think about it, and I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either. No, like, she eventually snaps out of it pretty shortly after, actually. Like, this whole hypnosis thing was almost kind of pointless, because, like, she soon sees, like, Ash trying to break into the castle, and she's like, Ash, you get down from there right now! And, like, it snaps her out of it. But then she pretends for like the rest of the movie until like Entei goes away that she's still like hypnotized. Like, it's weird.
So Professor Oak gets from gets an email from Molly, and she's just hollering. Molly's hollering about how she got a mom and dad now and stuff. And Ash is like, "Hey, I gotta go get my mom back because I can't let her holler like that about stealing my mom." you don't just let your mom get stolen.
She just showed up on his turf and stole his mom.
Yeah. This guy comes around and steals your mom. What do you do?
Yeah, she's like, "Your mama's so great. I'ma get some of that.
I'ma get some of that." That should be the episode title.
I'ma get some of that. Pokemon the third movie. I'ma get some of that.
It was the worst like youngster voice ever.
I'ma get some of that. Mm.
So the gang, they MacGyver their way in using their Pokemon. Yeah. Noctowl flies up and brings Bulbasaur and Chikorita, and they lower vines and, yeah, you know, they climb up into the Crystal Castle.
Yeah.
Through the power of magic and storytelling.
Pokemon problem solving 101. When in doubt, use Vine Whip.
Exactly.
Okay, so this is the point in the movie where Delia sees Ash climbing up to get her and is broken out of the trance. Not earlier. Yes. Oh, God, so much stuff. Okay, Ash's Pokegear rings, and Professor Oak is like, "Hey, what are you doing? You should have talked to me first," but they're going to have to discuss it later. So basically, I'm pretty sure that's Professor Oak's way of getting out of the movie.
Yeah.
And just not having to be...
Does nothing.
Yeah, there is only room for one relevant adult in a Pokemon movie, and you're not it this time, Professor Oak.
Yep, it's Delia's time to shine. Maybe someday. So they try to break into the garden house of the mansion, use a flamethrower, they get Cyndaquil and Vulpix doing it, they can't do it, so they break open, okay, so they have to figure out a way to get a door to stop closing. Yeah, so they do it by burning a hole in the door, but the holes would keep resealing, so they have the water types keep blasting with water to keep the doors open.
The hole open, I don't know how that works, but it you know.
I also don't 100% understand what it's supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a dream world. Whatever.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. It's also a dream. It's also a world where just Entei strolls up and just is kidnapping people's moms. So
we take a staircase down to a grassy field, or is it up to a grassy field? They go to a grassy field. That's what matters. They try to sneak through without being noticed.
Yeah, and Molly sees they have Pokemon.
She's like, "Oh my god, they're Pokemon trainers." And I think one of you pointed out during movie night that of course they're Pokemon trainers. Like, why are they surprised by this? It's like, whoa. They're Pokemon trainers. Well, yeah, of course they are. Look at them.
Yeah, look at the way they dress. They literally have Pokemon hanging on their shoulders.
They might as well be draped in like
badges.
Flags.
And...
Yeah.
It's like when Nuzlocke comic I read once, when at the very first time the character gets to Viridian City, the guy in the Pokemart is like, "Hey, you're from Pallet Town, right?"
Yeah.
And the character is like, "How do you know?" And he has, like, "I love Pallet Town" on his hat, his shirt. He has flags
really
sticking
funny
out of the backpack. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Know?
So Molly meets them in the field, but now she's aged herself up using the magic of the unknown, which is weird.
Yeah, because
and
she
thinks that...
Because,
well,
she thinks
she's also, like, smart now.
Well, at least she has, like, some knowledge of battle or whatever.
Yeah, all of a sudden she comes really, like, really wise, and Brock is like... "What a cute Pokemon trainer," which is kind of like, I don't know, I can't tell if
that's
awkward
weird
or not. Yeah,
no, it's
weird.
I definitely had some red flags popping off at that point. I'm like, what?
Yeah,
wait
I didn't.
Minute.
I was a bit uncomfortable with that one. I mean, he didn't know it was Molly, but we did.
Yeah,
I think he did actually. I think he was...
Okay, if he did, Brock has a problem.
Yeah, let's not pretend that Brock doesn't know what he's doing.
He knows exactly how old the girl is.
He
never forgets. Okay, so Brock stays to battle her while the rest of the crew runs further up into the tower, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Brock gets whipped pretty good.
Yeah, the Fampede, like, completely wrecks the Onix, which is, like, one of the funniest images in this movie, where a little Fampede doing rollout against the giant Onix, and Onix just gets, like, bulldozed out the way.
I think the implication is that these aren't normal.
Yeah, they're not
pokes.
Normal. They're, like, super-powered, yeah.
Yeah. And she can just use cute ones, but they're hyper powerful.
Exactly.
She's a hacker.
Yep.
She's using Ash logic, where she's using like Froakies and like Squirtles to fight like fully evolved Pokemon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yes. Uh-huh. You're correct. Okay, so they keep going up. Delia's storyline keeps going on. She's looking through Molly's storybook, and Molly explains that her father would read it to her every night. Delia look, because, you know, is it this point where Molly figure or Delia thinks about how the family lost a mother or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
And she looks at the photographs and asks her if she gets lonely, and they have a bit of a scene together.
Yeah, development.
Molly says, like, everything's cool now because I got a mom and dad, and then we get a nice little transition over to Ash. Because, you know, she sees Ash in the, what is it, the computer? Which is kind of nice. That's a nice little bit of symmetry there. Brings in the paternal aspect of the, I think that's one of the, like, the strongest things about this movie is that it brings up that paternal aspect and how, or I guess maternal aspect in this instance. Mm-hmm. And the relationship between parent and child, which is reaching for something more than these movies usually reach for.
Yeah, you know, it's going for like a little, like some nice theming with it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is the next scene where we go into the underwater environment?
Which is like the best scene in the movie?
Yes.
Yeah. Essentially, Ash is trying like crazy to reach his mother, and the various instances of Molly, because the real Molly is still up in the tower with Delia, and the adult Molly is like a projection.
Yes.
And she's essentially trying to, you know, delay Ash somehow. And so first Brock and then Misty, they offer to be the ones to do a Pokemon battle with grown-up Molly so that Ash can keep going towards his mom.
Very, very nice little summary there. So, but
although, can we also say that Ash keeps forgetting what his objective even is, and is like, oh yeah, I'll battle you, and Brock and Misty both have to go each time. No,
well, see,
you have to keep moving.
Like, this is pretty much a very lighthearted version of what used to happen all the time in Saint Seiya. I don't know if any of you have seen that anime, but...
Mm-hmm. Is it basically just a bunch of... Like, we need less people, you know, like, they peel off one at a time to go fight. Wait, is it kind of like, Yu Yu Hakusho, where there would be just enough for everybody to fight somebody?
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty common trope. I mean, you have to give your protagonist something to do, but you have to give everyone something to do. So
yeah.
All the known protagonists have their little moment in the sunlight, and then the big final confrontation can be just between the main guy and the main antagonist.
Anime stuff.
Anime.
Yeah.
Misty has an underwater battle with a Molly projection, and Jamie and Jesse are there, or Jesse and Jamie are there, you know. Did I say Jamie?
James and Jesse.
I've been working with him.
You're very familiar with him if you've known him for a long time.
Yeah, it's intimate. I've been working with Jamie these past few days. So,
which I want to say also, the music for that particular scene is actually really good too.
Mm-mm.
It's a nice environment, the underwater one, because it's like you never really think about what it would be like to fight in that. I'd like to see.
Yeah, it's cool. The visuals are cool. Like, for once, you actually see like Pokemon like fighting like in the water, and so the music's good, and then like you got Team Rocket in the back cracking jokes. It's a good scene. I like it.
It's actually kind of neat because you get this ground battle in the first one between Brock and Molly, and then you get a water battle between Misty and Molly, but. You get kind of a weird sky battle at the end as Charizard's flying around and stuff.
Yeah, you got like a nice little variation in there.
Yeah, neat.
Also worth mentioning is, so like Molly like talks to Misty, and Misty's like, I'm not a bad trainer myself. I used to be a gym leader or whatever. And Molly's like, you don't have to be an adult to be a gym leader. And Entei's like, you can be whatever you want to be. And so she ages down, but not back down to her actual age, like a few years older than her, like probably like, I don't know, 12 or so.
She gets to be around Misty's age. So she says, okay, so you are old enough to be a gym leader. I'm going to be your age so I can be a gym leader.
Yeah, exactly. And it's kind of weird. So you have like kind of adult or like late teen Molly fighting Brock. And then you have like young, like
10.
like 10 year old Molly fighting Misty. And then like you have like young Molly.
So many variations. So
it's a bit confusing at times.
Yeah. Then you got, I don't know. I'm not gonna go on.
Okay. So Misty battle happens, and then Ash meets up with his mom, and she's like, "Hey, Entei left a bit ago." Ash explains how Entei took her and everything, and so we'll get to the rest of the movie in a second. We're just gonna take a brief break.
Big summer blowout sale. 1 weekend only. Chatot audio. $1 installs. Make your bike the envy of all your friends. Speakers, systems, radios. $1 installs. 1 weekend only. Chatot audio.
Hey, it's Thatch, and I wanted to let you know how you can improve your Puckle experience. First, you can come to PucklePodcast.com, where we have a chat box and forums where you can talk to many other Pokemon fans who also listen to the show. You can keep up to date on the latest Puckle news by following us on our Twitter, liking our Facebook page, subscribing to our subreddit, and following our Tumblr. Don't forget to review us on iTunes, though. It helps us find more people to come and hang out with us, and we can have larger tournaments because of it. And, if you're feeling generous, we also have a Patreon, where you can donate in return for some awesome rewards. And as always, thanks for listening, and for all the support you give us. Catch you guys on the flip-flop.
And we're back. So, where we left off the story, Misty had just gone to battle Molly underwater. Ash is now up meeting his mom, or, you know, made his way to the top of the tower where his mom and Molly are. He's like, hey, mom, let's get out of here. Delia wakes up Molly and is like, hey, I'm not your real mother. I'm Ash's mom. And Molly's not terribly happy about this.
Nah.
The unknown start to wreak a little bit of havoc in the room, and they leave the room, correct?
Yeah, they get out. Yes, yes. Okay. Thrilling summary.
Yes, it's riveting, truly riveting. And then Entei's like, hey, you gotta leave not only the room, you gotta leave the entire castle. Get out of here.
But not you, mama. You gotta stay.
Yeah, give me some of that.
That sweet, sweet mama.
So Entei starts to attack Ash, and Pikachu's trying to fight off Entei. It's not happening. And the Charizard comes in. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention earlier. Who is Charizard staying with currently?
Is Charla the trainer or the female Charizard? I remember Charla was anyone one of them.
Whimsicott, do you remember?
Oh man, you're kind of putting me in a spot.
Hang on, let me see. Charizard.
I think she was called.
Hang on, Charizard Island.
No, I can't recall that. Let me see.
Oh, wait, hang on. Charific, here we go. The Charicific Valley is located between Violet City and Azalea Town. Really, don't remember that. Liza and her Charizard, Charla.
Okay, so Liza and Ash's Charizard are watching the news, and they see all this crazy stuff going down in Greenfield.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, and Charizard is like, whoa, I got to get out of here and go help my boy. So,
yeah.
Entei is, you know, he's starting to lay a beat down on Ash and his pokes. And then Charizard comes in to save the day.
Literally saves Ash from death because he's falling into like a pile of spikes.
Yes,
and, like,
he swoops in and grabs him, which is pretty hardcore.
Yeah,
totally Superman.
What's that?
Superman. It's a Superman Charizard fusion.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah.
Charizard has a total Superman moment.
Very heroic of him. So the battle continues, and Ash keeps hollering about how none of this is real, Molly, and you can have real Pokemon if you leave and, you know, get rid of this crazy terror force that's going to destroy us all. and Entei starts to defeat Charizard, and he gets him to a, you know, position on the ground, and he steps on him, and he's about to kill him, and then Molly's like, stop! I want the real thing.
You just keep the one useful thing Team Rocket manages to do in this movie.
Okay, explain, Whimsicott, you get to explain what Team Rocket does here.
So the second time Ash is about to fall to his death, his friends manage to grab him, and Team Rocket managed to grab his friends to prevent everyone from falling to their deaths. And they actually get a pretty good line, because Ash is like, oh, wait, Team Rocket, you saved me too? But you're the bad guys. And Team Rocket is like, yeah, but if something happens to you, we're out of a job.
Yeah, like, and they even said, like, we're out of show business, implying, like, not that they're not going to be able to steal, as in, like, they won't be on the movies anymore because they are completely irrelevant to his plot.
They can't go through one movie without breaking the fourth wall or acknowledging that they're in a narrative in some way.
They are so awesome.
Oh, it was either early. I think it was even earlier than this. They're like, I hope we get a bigger role in the next movie. Like, they're even, like, taking jabs at themselves for not being in the movie very much.
Yeah. So you were at the point where Entei is about to destroy Charizard.
Okay, Entei's about to kill Charizard, and then Molly's like, "Hey, stop! Don't kill Charizard." I think that's the actual dialogue in the movie.
No more, Papa. No more.
Might be.
It's not that. She's always like, no more, Papa. And he's like, that is what you were.
The unknown don't like that Molly and Entei are, you know, going to be peaceful now. Mm-hmm. And they start to, there are a lot of crystals that start to form and you know, they're going to stab people and danger ensues.
Bad time.
The unknown apparently have lost control of their psychic energy, whatever that means.
I think it's like a computer where you try to input several opposing things at once. Like, Molly wanted, like, a crystal palace with a mama and a papa, and then she wanted Pokemon, and then she wanted them to be older, but not so much older, and now she wants the fighting to actually stop, and she wants to leave, and the unknown have no idea what's going on anymore, and they're... hive mind is like completely on the fritz and
does not compute. Things,
does
yeah,
not
but
compute.
It's like the deathly version of a blue screen of death.
Mm-hmm. That's a pretty decent explanation, actually. You know, it makes a lot of sense.
A blue screen of death, but with more death.
Okay.
More death.
Unknown start freaking out, and they're like, hey, we gotta evacuate. And then Ash, being the person he is, does not want to evacuate. He instead wants to go stop the unknown from freaking out. They go back into the Crystal Palace, am I right? They go to the hall that has the unknown in it, and they try to destroy there's a force field around the unknown stopping them from getting into it.
Yeah.
And they try to destroy that, and they can't. And then Entei's like, hey, Molly. Entei's like, I've been happy being your father, and if you believe in me, there's nothing I can't do. Or something to that effect.
Yeah, he's like, I was born of your mind, blah, 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 blah. If you believe in me, there's literally nothing I can't do.
So Molly believes in him, and then he uses flamethrower to break through the barrier, and he destroys the unknown, am I right? He uses flamethrower on them.
Yeah,
he essentially sends them back to their dimension, I think.
Mm-hmm, yeah, they go back to the like little palace pyramid thing where they like were found originally.
And because he was made from their magic, he can't exist in the world without them. So he starts to fade away.
Essentially, yes.
The unknown return to where they came from. Like they go back to the ruins, and then they go back to their dimension, and they return Professor Hale. And everything's okay. Greenfield is saved. Professor Hale is saved.
Yeah,
Molly
everything
is saved.
Goes back to normal, and we won't see a crystal flower anymore until Generation 6.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is a shame, because there needs to be crystal flowers more. There should be a forest of crystal in, like, a game.
Ooh, that'd be cool. Yeah.
That must exist somewhere.
There should be, in a Pokemon game, a crystallized forest that has both grass types and rock types in it.
Ooh,
you know what I mean?
I like that.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Or fairy types, you know.
Fairy types would be a must.
You can have that for free, Pokemon. Go ahead. Take it. It's yours. Put it in somewhere. Okay, hold on.
So, everything is back to normal. Greenfield is back to its original natural beauty. And everyone who had to run away from the Pokemon Center and the rest of the town is free to come back.
Yeah, everything's cool. Basically,
it's all fine now.
And Ash is like, hey, thanks, Mom, whatever. Then Pokemon happens. What happens is the story gets revolved, and then they head back out on the road.
Yeah, it's exactly. Team Rocket stays in the mansion for a little while because, you know, there's police around and...
one thing that is nice is that during the credit sequence, like the end credits, there's more animation and it's of Professor Hale being with Molly and then his wife comes back somehow.
Yeah, what happened to... Yeah, they never explain what happens to his wife, and then she shows up in the credits. I was really confused because I thought she was dead.
Yeah, me too. It's really confusing, and apparently the story differs in the Japanese and the dub, but it's still confusing either way.
Well, yeah, they never outright say what happened to her. It's just kind of implied that she's just gone because, like, she has, like, a picture of like, her dad with her and her mom, and then she cries over it, but, like, they never say anything about the mom.
Maybe she's working somewhere else and she's got to be gone for a while.
No. the Japanese version just vaguely implies that she's sick somewhere. Mm-hmm. And the English version implies that she also disappeared while studying unknowns, which was what prompted her husband to become obsessed with them and do more research on them.
That makes sense.
And apparently, the original screenwriter for this movie did not agree with this at all. Takeshi Shudo wrote the first three Pokemon movies, and then because of poor health and because of, conflicts in decision-making like this one, decided to step away from writing the Pokemon movies. And apparently, his original story did not have Molly's mother returning at the end. Mm-hmm. And he did not agree with this because apparently in his screenplay, the original one, the mother was just gone, dead. And he said, "You did not understand. If I had a mother that was alive somewhere, I would not be kidnapping someone else's mom to be my mom."
Exactly.
You know, that doesn't make a lot of sense. Molly would have wished for her mother to be healthy or to be back. She would not have wanted a new mother.
That makes sense. I can understand. That's a lot of integrity to leave the Pokemon franchise. That's pretty, like...
Well, I mean, he apparently had health issues as well, but, you know, creative differences happen.
It's interesting to think that they still happen on that level.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, in the multi-million dollar franchise, you still have people like, "Hey, this isn't my vision." It goes to show that he has an investment in it.
Yeah, it's kind of nice, but I mean, I guess people who get to work at that level have a very strong sense of what they want and of the importance of what they want as well. So it's kind of, I mean, I'd expect to see that happening on every level of story making, you know?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah, it's just, you know, sometimes these movies get pigeonholed as being just, you know, cheap cash-ins or whatever. But when you have a creative who's that invested,
it means there's
something there.
I get what you mean now. Yeah, it's nice to know that the people who do these movies care about the movie and what the movie says.
How do you guys feel about the actual movie itself? What do you think, Whimsicott?
I like it. I think it has a rather poetic quality to it, which is probably due to the way, like, the dream world lets everyone kind of run wild with their imagination, mostly on the visual side, but not only. I like it. I think the storyline is a bit confusing. I think, you know, if this had not been a Pokemon movie, a movie just for kids, mostly, there was so much potential in a storyline like this. And, of course, they could not fully tap into it. But it would have been nice to see something as well made as this movie, with this quality of design and animation, take on, like, a more profound interpretation of this. This is a kid's dream world with magical creatures that can do absolutely anything. But I still very much enjoyed it as a Pokemon movie. I'd give it a 7.5 out of 10.
It's pretty good. I personally feel, from, like, the fantastical aspects of this movie, it is a bit, you know, whimsical, but there's a certain coherency and, like, cohesiveness to the style of storytelling in this movie. Like, it's really consistent. There is this kind of fairy tale aspect of it, you know, how she's always reading the fairy tale book, but it even kind of carries over into the narrative itself, which I think is nice. There's a nice dreamlike haze that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, there's chivalry and stuff. Not literal chivalry, you know what I mean? Like, in the way that Entei is, like, the way he's personified is kind of knight-like, you know what I mean? Like, he's got honor and stuff. What do you feel, Scissor Kick?
I like it. Specifically, like Fluffy said, I really like the animation and all that. It's a very nice-looking movie, especially some of, like, the static art looks really good. I really, really dislike how the beginning of the movie develops. Like, I think, like, how the plot, like, develops for, like, the first, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes is just eye-rollingly, like, poorly written, in just the sense that I hate how quickly it, like, it picks up with, like, the unknown, like, kidnapping Molly's father and her kind of being locked up. Like, I feel like I would have enjoyed it a lot more in the beginning if they would have kind of spent a bit more time with Molly and her father.
I get that 100%. Mm-hmm. But then again, we do have to get to our protagonist as fast as possible.
Exactly. I can see that as a kid's movie, and they have to, like, man, you know, it's all about, like, attention span and all that. Like, they have to kind of get to the meat of the movie.
But this movie's still an hour and 30 minutes long, and mm-hmm. for having that long of a runtime, it feels a little bit hollow. Like, it's...
Yeah,
that's what features are like full features mm-hmm. are an hour and a half long.
Exactly.
And if you're not bringing like, you know, full features worth of narrative, it starts to fall apart.
Yeah. And then there's just like some conveniences. Like, it's kind of weird how like it may be a problem with like the dubbing, like with like kind of like changes in languages and all that kind of stuff. Once they actually like transcribe it over here, mm-hmm. like it's kind of weird how she just happens to kind of play with the unknown pieces with kind of unprompted and just kind of. Yeah, just I guess actually that's not really so much a problem. It's just kind of weird how everything happens so fast.
The beginning of the movie is so, you know, it is so packed, but like the middle part of the movie feels so mm-hmm. like, you know, loose, and it doesn't
exactly.
There's not the same urgency. Or if you're going to open the way this movie opens, you mm-hmm. need to be at that like speed throughout the entire movie. Otherwise, it just kind of like
it just feels weird.
Felt really rushed.
It hits, like, almost, it almost feels like padding near the end when they all of a sudden, like, they take, like, 10, 15 minutes to, like, to fight the unknown themselves, where, like, once they have kind of, like, the Entei plot resolved, more or less. Which yeah. I feel like they could have spent a little less time on that and more time in the beginning, but,
Or, like, know, had them happening at the same time, you know what I mean? It's, like, it's not...
Exactly, yeah.
You could have a, like, a storyline where Ash is fighting Entei, but at the same time, Ollie's, like, having her own internal struggle against the unknown, mm-hmm. and then... We don't have to have that, you know, 20 minutes mm-hmm. at the end of that fight. You can just get straight into, like, resolution, wrap up the narrative.
Yeah. Yeah. Aside from my problems with, like, the plot itself, I actually really enjoyed it. Like, I enjoyed it. Like, I still have, like, some nostalgia for it.
It's technically pretty nice. Like, it's yeah. a decent-looking movie. The art is nice.
I like watching it. I like seeing, like, Gen 2, like, done in, like, pretty good art style, you know what I mean? Like, I enjoy seeing, like, these Pokemon, like, from Gen 2, because that's just my favorite gen. You know, represented in this way.
I personally feel this is like the best that the anime's looked from like a stylistic standpoint. Like, it's not absolutely. Too the hyper modern, mm-hmm. glossy, like slick, cheap looking anime.
It's older, but it still has like the budget behind it, where it looks like nice and fluid and all that.
It's got that texture. It's got that depth.
It looks like that
era. You know, it's nice. Mm-hmm.
And also,
I agree.
Yeah. And the art design is really good too, like, especially when you take in like you know, like the crystals, like, you know, formations and all that are really cool looking. Like we were talking about earlier, like the battles between like Molly and Misty and like the different settings they put those fights in are like really good looking. And so I enjoy that.
The intro captures this. I mean, like the intro of Ash and Co. to, like, you know, they meet up with that girl. That captures the never ending adventure kind of thing that they get in these mm-hmm. movies. Like that's a cool place that I want to be at, you know?
Yeah.
And that's something these movies really get is... It's in the first movie, it's in Pokemon the Movie 2000. Like, these are fun locations, and they're nice to look at. Nice eye candy, and you're like... Yeah. That, you know, generally pleasant. Pleasant-looking places.
The place I want to visit without, you know, magic crystals.
There's parasail... Or not parasails, like, you know, they're eating picnics out on in this beautiful town. It's nice.
Mm-hmm. And again, like I said, this has probably one of my favorite opening themes from any of the movies.
Absolutely. And that's a bonus point there. Bump that up one point in my book just for that alone.
Exactly. And like, all the battles are good, too. So, you know, if I'm being objective, I'd probably give it, like... I give like 6.5 or 7, you know, mm-hmm. ignoring some of the plot problems and just saying it's a fun watch, just because the animation and some of the set pieces, like I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'd say it's one of the stronger of the films. I know we've said this for all of them so far, but I'd say this is stronger than both the previous two movies.
Yeah, there's like a significant dive in like the after this one. I'd say
I'd say this is at least on par with 2000 and maybe superior to the first movie in some ways. I don't know. The first three movies are really hard to place in my mind, because there's different issues with each of them.
It's weird because, like, I think the first movie is still, no matter what, overall stronger than these two, because it's a little bit, I like the simplicity of the plot overall, mm-hmm. and, like, kind of just gives you room to, like, have it be about Mewtwo's struggle, basically.
There's something a little bit gross about the first movie to me, though. Like, there's something about it that's kind of off-putting. Mm-hmm. In that, like, I don't know. It doesn't really feel super Pokemon-y.
Mm-hmm. It feels different, it does.
But that's beside the point. I think the long and the short of it is, movie 3 is pretty good.
Yeah, it's good. It's solid. Yeah.
You're not going to regret watching it if you haven't seen it. But I hope you would have seen it if you listened to all of our narrative.
Yeah, to have spoil the entire movie.
Yeah, and this is definitely, believe me, this is not the way to experience this narrative. My choppy explanation of what happens in the movie. But yeah, it's decent. Decent little movie. Yeah, so that's basically all I have to say. Anything you guys got left to wrap up, or?
I think about, covered all my major thoughts about this film. Yeah.
All right, and what does it got?
I don't think I have anything else to say. I think you're probably right. A good portion of my good vote was for the visuals, which I found absolutely lovely. But I still think, it's a solid movie.
All right, awesome. So thank you for listening today. If you have any emails, tell me your opinion on these movies. Send it to the Puckle Podcast email, which is pucklepodcast@gmail.com. In the subject line, write Puckle Movie Club. Tell me what you think. Tell me what you think about any of the first three movies. We're going to be watching the fourth movie next time, Pokemon Forever. So tell me what you think of that. And other than that, thank you for listening. I've been Ethan.
I am the Fluffiest Whimsicott.
And I am Sushiki.
Live from Lambertown, we've been Puckle Movie Club. Thank you. Thank you very much. Perfect ending. Killed it.